Have you ever thought about how it is that God expresses his love? There's a children's chorus we sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And we sang it to David when he couldn't sleep. And I know we know it, but how does the Bible tell me that Jesus loves me? Well, there's lots of ways, you know, healing and miracles and peace and joy and hope and justice and provision. But today I just want us to consider one expression of Jesus' love, something that's been a little lacking. It's the hug. I'm more of a handshake person myself, but a big hug from somebody you love and trust can really make things feel better. We think of little children, and you know, mum gives them a hug, and they feel so secure and comforted and at peace. And so I want to look at the embrace that Jesus gives us. We're going to look at a fairly strange scripture. It's Matthew 23, verse 37. And the picture there isn't a picture of Jerusalem as we read out this scripture. It's a city in Asia. But it speaks of how quickly a people can be turned towards violence. I could have gone to the internet and chosen a picture of America in recent days or a number of countries in recent months to put up there. But to the hurting city of Jerusalem, this is what Jesus says. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. And I don't know what tone of voice, what volume Jesus said this in, but when I read the scripture, I hear him saying it quite loudly and passionately with tears rolling down his face. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I've longed to gather your children together. That passion. He was standing in the temple when he said this in that week, moving on towards his crucifixion and all that he had to go through. He knew what was coming in those days. And yet he's not crying for himself. His heart, his compassion are crying. They're weeping for the people of that city. Because as he looks into the decades and the years and the centuries to come, he can see the violence and the pain and the suffering that's there. Yes, he looks forward and he weeps and he cries for them. Jerusalem means city of peace, and it should have been a place where God was preeminent, but instead they've rejected the prophets, they've rejected the message, they're about to reject Jesus Christ. And really, that could speak of most cities in this world in the 21st century. But the picture that Jesus gives is of the mother hen with her chicks. And this mother hen is all ready to protect her little fragile, fluffy chickens if she spots danger approaching or they just need a bit of love. You know, baby chickens, baby chicks are really cute. A few of us still are rather cute, aren't we, ladies? You know? You know, don't often get cute, but we are. My mother kept chickens through my life growing up, and one of the jobs that I had to do as a child was gather them from the trees where they'd roosted, put them in the chicken coop. But my mother was a rescuer of battery hens, and her last chicken was called Evil Agnes because of her character. And somehow to me, that speaks more of the human race than cute and fluffy. But anyway, we'll just leave it there. But Jesus looks at the people in Jerusalem, Evil Agnes's and all, with his godly eyes of love. And what does he see? The most adorable toddlers, cute and fluffy. A heart of love extended out to them. How often I've longed to gather your children. Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And he was ready for all those little chicks to disappear under his God-sized wings. Jesus' desire was to hold them close to his heart and to protect them and shield them from danger. He wanted them to grow up close to him so they could learn from him and be with him from all eternity. But there's another bird that's associated with Israel too, and it's the eagle. This verse from Deuteronomy, God shielded the nation of Israel and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye, like an eagle that stares up its nest and hovers over its young, that spread its wings to catch them and carried them on its pinions. And although the word that Jesus uses in Jerusalem was of a fowl, and that's the O-W, not the O-U fowl, we have an eagle looking after us. The eagle's breast is just as soft as a chicken's breast, but the wings and the presence of an eagle. Jesus is the lion as well as the lamb, and that's worth just stopping and thinking about. We have an eagle that's looking after us, not just a farmyard chicken. This is an eagle. But back to the scripture in Matthew and the words, your children. I think that these children are the citizens of Jerusalem, the citizens of Israel, the citizens of the world today, you and I. We're 7.6, is it, billion people. That's the children he's referring to that he wants to bring under his wings. It's me and my next door neighbor and their next door neighbor across the world. And that leads me to a bit of a radical proposal, because I think we have a tendency to view the world populated with people who don't want to be saved. You know, and we're just hanging on until Jesus comes back. But this is my proposal. I think people do want to be saved. I think it's as natural for chicks to run under the mother hen's wing as it is for the hen to put out her wings to protect those chickens. I think people do want to be protected. They do want to be safe. They might not understand how that's going to happen, but they want the safety. They want a savior. And who is a savior? Well, it's just somebody who saves you. It's your local hero. You know, he dives into the burning building and pulls out the child from the flames. Well, that's what Jesus does, just on an eternal level, on a global level. He's our local hero who's rescuing us. And when we're in danger, when we're in the fire, we're looking to that someone. We're longing for that someone. So why is it then that people don't get under Jesus' wings? One is our freedom of choice, of course. God doesn't force us to do that, but he does invite us. He's inviting each one of us today, come under my wings, be close to my breast, be safe and secure, learn from me. And of course, there are other religious systems, other systems across the world that hold people apart from Christ. And Matthew 23, these words of love come from Jesus at the end of a very, very strongly worded declaration against the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of that day. Verses 22 to 36, they contain 8 pronouncements, woes in the old-fashioned versions, and it's a tone of divine judgment. He's not irritated with them, but it is a judgment against them. Just a little taster of what he says. What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You won't go in yourselves and you don't let others enter. It's a whole lot more, but 2 major things that I got from that. is that Jesus doesn't want people to be deceived by these other systems. But he doesn't want anybody to end up in hell either. And he loves these leaders too. He loves them just as much. That he wants them to be warned and to know of the danger place that they are in. For every expression of God's anger against false guides, there is a cry of love. I want to gather you under my wings. I want to gather you under my wings. It's me and you. It's you too at home. He wants to gather you under his wings. So I want to start rounding all of this up. What does it mean for us here in Gosnells, 14th of June? What does it mean for you at home whenever you listen to this? How's our compassion doing? With what eyes and with what heart attitudes do you and I view the peoples of this world in all their multiple varieties? We're each one of us different. Do we cry out, oh Gosnells, oh Gosnells, how I long to gather you under Jesus' wings. I hate the systems that hold people captive, but I do love the people. Do love those who are held captive underneath. And from his heartfelt cry for Jerusalem, we know that Jesus didn't hate anybody, even the worst of them. And he knew that some of those people there were going to say, crucify him, crucify him. And yet he loved them at this moment. And his heart broke for them. Because when we sin, God doesn't hate us. He genuinely sorrows for us, knowing that in every way, our rebellion and our sin harm us the most. That's what Pastor John so eloquently preached on last Sunday. Psalm 36, verse 7 says, how precious, O God, is your constant love. We find protection under the shadow of your wing. And other versions talk of that protection under the wings of God's loving kindness. If there's a fox or a cat or a storm, the hen calls out to her chicks and she cluck, 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 clucks, and they come because she can see the danger that they can't see. And she invites them under under the protection of her outstretched wings. Nearly said outsized wings then, that's the eagle. And to some here today, you're in a place of vulnerability and danger. Strayed that bit too far away from Jesus' wings, from that place of safety, and hear that invitation back. Now, it's a bit dangerous out there. Actually, it's a lot dangerous out there. Come back home. Come back to the safety that I'm offering you. I'm inviting you here. Come back. It's an invitation, friends. It's not a command, although it has that ring of command too. It's your choice. But I would say, given that it's Jesus who's inviting us to be in the safety under his wing, would be wise to listen to that invitation. There's an embrace that comes from heaven. This is Jesus' love language. This is his hug. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest for your souls. Rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. And if I'm speaking to somebody who is responsible for keeping others away from Jesus, please hear Jesus' cry of love to you. No condemnation, no agenda. I'm just speaking this out for that someone who knows that for whatever reason, in their drawing away from Jesus, they're drawing others away too. The invitation is for you to come under the shelter of my wings. And I want to say in British understatement, because I am born and brought up in that culture, if you refuse to hear his voice, it won't be nice. And it won't be nice for you for all eternity. But lastly, I want to say that Jesus' cry wasn't just for Jerusalem. It was for Judea and Samaria and for the ends of the world. Because just after speaking to the crowds, Jesus told his disciples, "The gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." And there's a world out there that's tied up in other systems that haven't yet heard of Jesus Christ. So what are we going to do about it? What's our compassion level? How are our hearts towards the nations of the world? And it's not good enough to say, "I'll just send Jeff and Sue. I volunteer them to go." I want you to know, that Jeff and I, we've worked in some interesting places. We haven't been in some of the safest locations in the world. One of my, I'm digressing here, but you'll see where it's leading. One of my closest moments with death didn't come in some wild adventure. It came at home in my kitchen when I was alone because I had a close encounter with a toaster. I was electrocuted. I put both my hands on it, and there's the current going through my arms and through my chest. And eventually I was able to prise one of my hands off the toaster and turn it off. All alone, no medical help. And so I phoned a friend in another city whose mum was a nurse in the UK. She phoned her nephew's wife, who's a GP, who gave her advice, who then phoned it back to the lady friend who phoned it to me. I had the advice, and by the way, I lived. So the safest place to be is in the center of God's will for your life. Staying at home isn't the cure. It isn't safer at home. Those toasters can get you at any point. We've got a plastic toaster now rather than a metal one. God says to us, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope." God wants us out of the nest and engaged in the world. That's where we get to practice being followers of Jesus Christ. But his advice is, don't stray too far away from my wings. And what a lovely picture that is. We're doing what God has put in our hands to do. And there he is, close to us, this eagle, chicken, however you want to see it. But he's there close to us. And we're doing what we're doing. And then if any real danger comes, not just ordinary things that help us to grow up, but real danger, he'll call, he'll let us know so that we can be safe and secure in his presence. Or if there's something that happens and we want to run to God for that big hug, he's there with that breast that will take us warm and gentle by his heart, that we can be comforted by him and learn from him. God's safe is not don't engage in the world. His safe is be in the world, doing what I have given you to do, but don't stray too far away from me. Just stay close. We're going to finish with the words from Psalm 91. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Jeff, may I use that as a little prompt for you? In the moment, we're going to close with a song based on this psalm. But my hope is twofold, that having worshipped here or at home today and have listened to what I've had to say, that you and I can go into this week aware that Jesus loves us. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves us. And that he is alongside us with his open wings, ready to have us come under that shelter, no matter what we're going through. And I also hope that we can go into the week with a heart of compassion for those who are held captive in other systems. That this heart of compassion will change our attitudes. It'll change our prayer life. It will change what we are willing to engage in. And from the beginning of Psalm 91, I just want to read these words, and then Jeff's going to bless us with a song. He's going to bless you at home and bless us in the church here. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High, let's live in the shelter of the Most High, will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust in him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from every deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Thanks, Jeff.
is in you. Secure I stand, for Lord, you are my refuge, my tower of strength. My hope is in you. Secure I stand. You will deliver me. Your truth will be my shield. Jesus, you cover me. In your love, no fear prevails. No evil, no terror, no arrow, no plague shall ever come near me. For you are my safety, my hiding place. Jesus, I trust in you. No evil, no terror, no arrow, no plague shall ever come near me. For you are my safety, my hiding place. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Whoa, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Jeff.